We're going to begin at Genesis chapter 3, and we're going to look down in verse 20. Now, where we started was back in Genesis 1:1. Go back in your mind to where we started. We started, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." And we found out that God there is Jehovah Elohim, the God who puts forth power. That's Genesis 1:1. "In the beginning, God created..." Now, we said that word "created" was bara. Remember what that meant? Out of nothing, instantly. In the beginning, God created out of nothing, instantly, the heavens and the earth. And then we moved quickly to the second verse, which says the earth became, or the earth was, without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. So right away we ask, how did that happen? And then we plunge in right quickly into what I called the original sinner and the original sin. Now, I'm not talking about Adam. The original sinner didn't start there. The original sin didn't come into the universe there. The original sin came into an angel who was God's supreme archangel named Lucifer. And he was the ultimate sinner. He began sin. He was the original sinner. And God created him, remember, full of perfect in wisdom and beauty. He was the most magnificent creature, very intelligent. And we realize that everything was wonderful when God created him. And that idea of him being perfect in wisdom and beauty, it says, until iniquity was found to be in him. And that iniquity, that first sin that entered the universe, was an angel named Lucifer, but no ordinary angel. He was, remember, that ultimate archangel of God. And everything was wonderful. But then Satan, remember, it was a thought. And his thought was this, just in his thinking, "I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit on the mount of the congregation." That is, I'm going to rule over God's kingdom. "I will elevate myself above the heights of the clouds." And here it comes. "I will be like the Most High God." That was the original sin. Now, God could have met that sin with brutal force. He could have annihilated Satan right there. And all of those fallen angels, with the breath of his mouth, he could have taken them out. But he said no. And I think probably the other angels wanted him to do that. But he said, "No, let's let this run its course. We're going to let this run its course. Because in the end, we're going to teach the angels and man, we're going to teach them that the way to rule and reign is not through pride and arrogance, but through servanthood, to become servants. That's the way. That's what this world is all about. God wants believers to be servants. God wants believers to serve each other. And that's the beauty of it. That's what we're here for. The way to rule in the kingdom is to serve. You serve those whom you rule. And that's an important fact. That's an important fact. So God said, let this run its course. Of course, he was dealing with man, and I'm sure some of the angels said, "What in the world? Man is far inferior to the angels. Why are you using man?" This is all a beautiful experiment to prove ultimately to the angelic realm and to the human realm that the way of success is the way of submission and service and love and compassion. Not like Satan. That's arrogance and pride. And those sin patterns that Satan brought out in the Word of God, there are five lust patterns. The first one was ego,
arrogance.
We all have that. We all have, everything's about us, me. That's that sin nature within us. And the second one is approbation lust. That's the approval of people. What we do, what motivates us, is the approval of people. We love to hear compliments. We love to be stroked, I say. And we live off of that. And some of us can't make it without it. And that's probably one of the teenagers' problems. They like to be included. So it's ego lust, approbation lust, and then power. They want to run it. They want to rule. And that's one of the major lust patterns. And the fourth one is material lust. The lust for stuff. I tell men who are hunters, how many guns are enough? One more, huh? And that final one is sensual lust. So here we are. Ego, approbation, power, material, and sensual. Those lust patterns pound our brain. We have that sin nature in us. That's what makes us tick. Now, those of us who are know Christ as Savior, we also have God the Holy Spirit living in us. Isn't that great? And we want God the Holy Spirit to control our life. If we're walking in the Spirit, as the Word of God says, we're to walk. Our Christian life is a walk daily. And if we're walking in the Spirit, out of our life will flow the fruit of the Spirit, which is that love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and self-control. And that's totally opposed to the ego, to the approbation, to the material lust, to the power lust, and to the sensual lust. And then we went through and God created the heavens and the earth. Remember that? And we found out that it was Jehovah Elohim, the God who puts forth power, that created. Now that word created is bara, out of nothing, instantly. He didn't use any pre-existing materials. Out of nothing, He created the heavens and the earth. And then it says, and the earth was without form and void, empty, and darkness was on the face of the deep. Well, the reason the darkness was on the face of the deep is when, like I said earlier, when Satan sinned, and his sin was, I will ascend into heaven, I will be like the Most High God. God cast him out of heaven into the earth, and then the earth at that point became without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the earth. That's how it's all got there. So now God is, like I said, He could have dealt with it with brute power. He could have killed him, Satan, right away. He could have done away with him. But He said, let that just play it out. Because as we play it out, we're going to show, we're going to prove to the angels and to believers, to men, that the way up is down. The way up is down. It's love. And it's servant. Being a servant's heart. Having a servant's heart. Serve each other. That's what we do in the body of Christ. Amen. When we come to the body of Christ, we didn't come to be served, but to serve. And those who get the lowest in the eyes of people are the highest. Those who get the lowest, those who are servants, really communicate the love of God to people. And that's what it's all about. That's what God is doing this. This is a great experiment to find out those of us, we make choices every day. But that's another story for another time. But then God began, He says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth became, or the earth was, without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And then the first day of creation, God said, let there be light. So He starts now with light. He starts the creation. And we went through those days of creation. Day one, we went through the creation. Now you're going to have to help me. Light, right? He began with light. So He's now putting it back together again. Satan's fall, that original sin, the original sinner. The earth at that point was cursed. And I don't know how long it stayed that way, but now God is putting it together again. And day one was light. He began with light. And the angels are saying, finally, God is going to put it together. So in the beginning, light. Light was first, day one. And atmosphere was day two. Y'all going to have to help me with this now. Day three was when He divided the waters into the land. And then that was when He created the plants and seed. Remember, we stopped and talked about seed a little bit. And the doctrine of regeneration. That's when regeneration began right there. The plants and the seed. And then day four was the sun, moon, and stars, the universe. And then day five was fish and fowl. And day six is when he created the air-breathing animals. Well, I want to go back and talk about when he created the smaller animals. He made the smaller animals, the smaller air-breathing animals, nefesh chi, one breath. That's important, one breath. He gave them a soul. Those animals had a soul, one breath. But then we move on through that. In day five, the fish and the fowl. And then day six, he created the larger beasts of the field and man. And remember, he said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let man have, number one, let him rule over the earth. And remember, he created the male and female, and he said, reproduce and rule. That was the deal. Have dominion. And then we go on through creation, and we find out that when God created Adam, this is the difference. He took Adam from the dust of the ground. And then he breathed into Adam, not nefesh chi like he did the animals, but he breathed into Adam, nashima chayim, the breath of lives. Two lives, two breaths. One was the soul, the other was the human spirit. That's what makes us different from animals. The human spirit makes us different from animals. That human spirit is connected to God. The soul is connected to the earth. And that's what I wanted you to get out of that. Okay? So we're moving along in our creation. Now man is created to rule over the earth. He's created, he made a male and female. He said, replenish the earth. That's the distinctiveness of maleness and femaleness. Reproduce the earth. Reproduce. That's why we're created that way. He took Adam from the dirt, and he breathed into Adam, not nefesh chi, but nefesh chayim, the breath of lives, too. And that, so he made Adam a body, soul, and human spirit. That human spirit connected Adam to God. That's what I want you to see. That's what makes us different from animals. We have a human spirit. We're a trichotomy. We're body, soul, and human spirit. So since Adam was taken from the soil, and since God breathed into him the breath of lives, Adam became the representative head of the human race. He became responsible only to God. That's what I want you to see. He became responsible to God through his human spirit. Now remember later on, he gave him a divine anesthesia, put him to sleep, took from him a rib, fashioned that rib into the woman. And because he took the woman from the man, she became responsible, worshipfully responsible to God through the instrumentality of her man, of her husband. As she submits to him, it's as though she's submitting to the God of heaven. But the man, on the other hand, was submitted directly to whom? God. And when he's submitting to God, that's amazing. And that works, by the way, in the home. If the man is the spiritual leader, the woman will follow. Now, I said last time, that's where that formula breaks down, because sometimes that man is not committed to the Lord. He's not walking with the Savior. So it makes it difficult for the woman to submit to him, to follow him. But to the extent that he will follow the leadership of God in his life, then the woman will gladly submit herself to him. No matter where he goes, I'll follow him, because he's connected to God, and she knows that. So she worshiped the Lord with her submissive spirit to him, that gentle spirit that many times can win him to Christ in that gentle way. And sometimes it's hard. Sometimes that man gets so involved in all kinds of things that he forgets who his head is. Man is only half a man without his rib. He's not whole. He's one rib short. But when he gets his rib back through the woman, he becomes how many bodies? One. Isn't that amazing? I say, God, you're a genius. So without your spouse, without your wife, you're only half a person. And I like that. I need to be... Linda compliments me, and I want to compliment her. And then we went through, again, remember we said, after we have now the woman and the man, And then God, he planted the garden east of Eden. And remember, in the midst of the garden, he made that those beautiful trees, and he made those two trees in the midst. One was the tree of life, and the other was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And then we have that passage that says, of every tree you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you must not eat. Because in the day, that's an idiomatic expression. That's just the prophet speak of way of saying, at the moment that you eat of it, you're going to die. But it's a Hebrew word that says, dying you will surely most positively die. In other words, you're going to die twice. You're going to die spiritually. Your human spirit that's connected to God is going to be broken. But then ultimately, you're going to die physically. You wouldn't die physically if you didn't die spiritually. Now, in Adam's case, it took him 960 years to die physically. But he died spiritually the moment that he ate of the fruit. Now, remember, we said that Adam was taken from the soil. God breathed into him the breath of life. At that moment, Adam became the representative head of the human race, responsible to God. Okay? So that's why it was so important that Satan, when he started, when God gave him that little command, don't eat of this tree. You know, those two trees, but one of them was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Don't eat of that tree. That tree wasn't an old, slimy, ugly witch's tree with skull and crossbones all around it. There was no difference in that tree than any tree. It was a beautiful tree. The issue was man's human spirit. What are you going to do? Are you going to obey or disobey? That was what it was. That was the first negative command in the Bible. Don't. God said don't. And this is the first time the word die was mentioned. Death. Because when you do, if you do, you will die. Dying, you will most positively, surely die. Now we know what happened. We know that in chapter 3, you know, Eve was just kind of hanging out. And here comes the serpent, a talking snake crawling into the garden. Satan realized that man had to fall. If man succeeded, he was going to look bad. If man succeeded, then God was going to be right in condemning him for his sin. So Satan said, he's got to fall, and he's got to fall quickly. So that's how he just appeared. The serpent appeared. Remember, it was Satan in the form of that serpent. He was coming, and he was going to just break it all down right here. But he didn't go to the man. He was wise. He went to the woman. He tempted her. We know the story. We know that the fruit was pleasant to the eyes. It was good for food, and it was good to make one wise. And she ate, but nothing happened. Remember, before that, they were naked. Did they know they were naked? No, they didn't know. There was no sin involved. But and nothing happened when she sinned. Remember, nothing happened when she sinned. There was no. It was just quiet. But she ate. But when she gave it to her husband, who is the representative head of the human race to God, and also the animals, he was the representative head. She gave it to her husband, and he ate. Well, Satan realized, I gotta get him. But I got to get him with no excuse. I got to get him where he willfully will take that fruit and eat it. And knowingly, there can be no deception here. He can't say later on, but Satan deceived me. See, it was his wife that deceived him. And then when he ate, things began to happen, didn't they? They knew they were naked for the first time. Nakedness became an evil where it wasn't before. They sinned and they fell. And that's the story. You've heard that story where God walks in the garden and he says, Adam, where are you? Well, it's obviously he knew where he was. That was language designed to teach. He knew where he was. How do you hide from God? You go behind the tree. Surely God's not back there, right? Ha! He said, Adam, what he was saying is, this is a pedagogical question. Adam, why are you where you are? Have you sinned? And then, of course, he wanted to take the responsibility, didn't he? Now, what did he say? The woman you gave me. That's right. That's always pass the buck. It was all her fault, God. The woman you gave me. Now, did Eve want the ball? What did she do? It was the snake. So none of them wanted the ball. None of them wanted the responsibility. And that's when everything crashed right there at that moment. That's when sin... Now, sin didn't enter the universe there. Where did it enter the universe? I will ascend into heaven. I will be like the Most High God. That's where it came into the universe. But where did it come into the world? Right there. Isn't that amazing? It came into the world through Adam. It was all, sin was there, but it came into the world through Adam. And Adam fell and he died. The thing is, he became the progenitor of the human race. That means he became the father of the human race. The one of the major things that happened to him when he sinned and died is his seed became corrupt. A death seed. That death seed was, that seed was going to carry that sin to generation, to generation, to generation, to generation. And that's what's so amazing about that. If Adam was our original parent, our original father, or our great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfather several greats back, and Eve was our great-great-great-great-grandmother, then we all came from them. Would you agree? We all came from them. So were we in Adam when he first sinned in his DNA? Yeah, we were there. So we were in the garden with him when he sinned. We were there. Is that not amazing or what? We were all there. And then that sin was passed down through that corrupt seed, generation after generation after generation. That's why the virgin birth is so very important. That's amazing. Okay? Now we see all that taking place. We found out that the judgments were passed out. When God passed out the judgments, remember he said to the woman, you're going to have trouble with your childbearing and pain you're going to bear children. And he said to the serpent, you're going to eat dust your whole life. And he said to man, where the garden was producing for you so very well, you didn't have to work hard to get all your food. You could get it very easily. But now it's going to be hard. Now the ground's going to produce weeds, thorns, and you're going to work by the sweat of your brow to eat. Before he had it made. Good crops. But now everything changed. Horrible. Horrible, horrible. But let's pick up verse 20 tonight. We're talking about God planted that garden on the east of Eden, and he put the man and the woman in there, and of every tree you may freely eat, but the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you must not eat. For in the day you eat of it, you'll die. And we know that Adam ultimately ate of it and he died. And all of his progeny began to die at that moment. And even the animals and the plants begin to die because Adam is the representative head of the human race and all creation. So when he died, the trees began to die. The animals began to die, and they became aggressive before they had it made. Now, like I tell people before, burnt toast never bothered Adam. But afterward, man, things fell apart. Things fell apart. It was a horrible time, and he and Eve had a lot of clashes. Because remember, he said, your desire shall be to your husband, and he will rule over you. That is a built-in antagonism between the man and the woman. And it continues today. And the only way to overcome that is to walk by means of the Spirit. God says if we walk in the Spirit, we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh wars against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. They're contrary the one to the other, so you cannot do what you would. Walk by means of the Spirit. Ladies, if you'll do that, you'll love your husband. Walk by the means of the Spirit. Men, if you will do that, you'll love your wife. And you'll see ways that you can serve her. She'll find ways that she can serve you. Okay, now, let me get to this last part. He's now where he was farming before everything came. You know, this is the last part of chapter 3. Thorns and thistles, verse 18, thorns and thistles it shall bring for you, and you shall eat of the herb of the field. In the sweat of your face you shall eat bread. Until you return to the ground, for out of the ground you were taken, to the dust you are, and to dust you will return. And we will. Unless Jesus comes back. Now let's look in verse 20 and we'll finish this tonight, but let me pray first. Father, open your word to us. Let it be clear and plain. May we catch this amazing glimpse and may it teach us as we see this whole book unfold. Thank you for our time tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Now look in verse 20. And Adam called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of all living. He had in mind what God had promised Eve, the seed of the woman would crush the head of the serpent. He had that in mind. She was going to become the mother of all living, which she did. Now look in verse 21. I think this is one of the most important passages in all the Word of God. When I say it's an important passage, this is a crucial passage. It is one of the most important passages. Because have you heard the story of Hansel and Gretel? Do you remember that? The dropping of the breadcrumb trail? Well, God did something amazing here. They're going to be kicked out of the garden, both of them, and not permitted to get back into the garden. But God's going to show them here something amazing. He's going to teach them right here through a little breadcrumb the way back. And this is one of the glimpses that I see in the Word of God right here. And it is a tremendous glimpse. Now watch, look in verse 21. It says, also, now you need to mark this, also for Adam and his wife, the Lord God, that's Jehovah Elohim, that's the same one who created the heavens and the earth, made tunics of skin. These are animal skins. Now I assume he had to kill the animals. I mean, I'm not very smart, but to get the animal skins, you got to kill the animals. He made tunics of skin and clothed them. Now look up here. Who made that decision? Did he consult with Adam and Eve? Did he say, do you want me to clothe you with animal skins? Nope. He did it himself. The Lord God made animal skins. And he made tunics of skin and clothed them. Jehovah Elohim made the tunics of skin and he put them on them. Now what he's teaching here, it's a glimpse, a little glimpse. It's a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. Is that not amazing? Clothing them with animal skins is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he is the way back. He is the way back to the garden. He's the way back to life. That's the picture that he wants to convey. It is a symbol of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is absolutely fascinating. That's a breadcrumb. He's saying to Adam and Eve, this is the way back to me, right here. Someone's going to have to die. Someone's going to have to shed blood. Who would that be? The Lord Jesus Christ, right? Isn't that amazing? I'm thinking, God, now that I call that a glimpse. It doesn't contain a lot. It's just a little glimpse. But man, is it powerful. It's powerful. It's right there. And I say, I got it, Lord. Then the Lord said, behold, the man has become like one of us to know good and evil. Now, he didn't mean this in a good way. He wanted Adam and Eve to know good and evil, but from the position of being innocent. That's how he wanted them to be. He didn't want them to know good and evil from the position of a sinner. Totally warped. This is not a good thing. When he said, they become like one of us to know good and evil. And now lest he put out his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Would God want man to live forever as a sinner? No. And that's what that's all about.
Who are the others in one of us?
Oh yeah, that's another picture of the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, co-equal, co-eternal, and co-existent. That means they're one God manifest in three persons. That goes back to that idea of let us make man in our image. according to our likeness. Let us make man. Now we know who the us is in the Trinity. Who is it? Do you know? Who is the actual creator?
Jesus.
That's good, Janie. He's the actual, the second person of the Trinity is the actual creator. He is the one that made it happen. God planned it. Jesus performed it. The Holy Spirit revealed it to us. Made it known to us. That's amazing truth. But it was God. When we say in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, it's a second person of the Trinity that's doing the creating. Remember, by Him were all things created. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made. He is the one who created. So that's the beautiful thing there. What God is doing here is preventing the man and the woman as in their sinful condition going back into the garden, eating from the tree of life, and living forever in that condition. Therefore the Lord God sent him out of the garden of Eden to till the ground from which he was taken. So he drove out the man and placed cherubim at the east end of the garden and the flaming sword which turned every way to guard the way to the tree of life. Adam now, like I said earlier, his seed had become corrupt. And he is in the process of reproducing a civilization of corrupt people. Do I look like a corrupt person? Well, I come into the world, watch this, with Adam's sin attached to me. I'm born physically alive, but spiritually dead. And I need the new birth. I need to be made alive. But that comes through Adam's fallen seed. But I want to give you one more glimpse. Look over in Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, look in verse 12. Now you've gone through a whole seminary course tonight. But it's easy, you can follow it. It's chronologically, it goes right down through the Word. Okay? Look in verse 12. Therefore, just as through one man, now who is that? Adam. Sin entered the world. Now it didn't enter the universe. Where did it enter the universe? Satan. That's right. And death through sin. And so death spread to all men because all sinned. Where did they sin? They sinned in Adam. In Adam all die. And that death is passed down generation to generation to generation to generation through the fallen, corrupt seed of the man. And again, that's why the virgin birth is so very, very, very important. God had a way to come into the world without being a sinner. Now look in verse 13. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin was not imputed when there is no law. We'll get back on that. But look in verse 14. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who had not sinned according to the likeness of the transgression of Adam. Death reigned even over those who did not eat of the forbidden fruit. Death is now part of the picture. Men, human beings, are born to die. It's written in on our genetic code, when we're born to die. We're going back to the dust. But look in that last line, here's the glimpse, who is a type of Him who was to come. Now who is that? That's Jesus. That is a very important phrase. That word type is the Greek word tupos. It's an imprint. Now the way I can explain that, if you have a hammer, guys, and you got a nail here, and you're about to hit the nail with the hammer, and you miss the nail, but you don't hit your finger, you just hit the wood, but you put an indent in the wood. That indent indicates there's a hammer. A hammer made that indent. That's a tupos. That's a type. Jesus Christ became a tupos of Adam. Now Jesus Christ is also using seed to procreate a new civilization of people. And that seed is called the gospel. In 1 Peter chapter 1, this is what it says. Jesus said, "Oh, Nicodemus, you must be born again." And then we read over here, Peter said, "Having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed." Now, what is the incorruptible seed? "By means of the word of God, which lives and abides forever." This is incorruptible seed here. And then he says, "All flesh is like grass, and the glory of man is like the flower of grass. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of God endures how long?
Forever.
And he says, "By this word was the gospel preached unto you." So here's the point. Adam, the last, who is Jesus Christ, is in the process right now of procreating a new civilization of people. Not by the fallen corrupt seed of Adam, but the incorrupt seed of the gospel. It's like this. The gospel, when people preach the gospel, the Holy Spirit plants it in our mind, the soil of our mind, and that seed is germinated by the Holy Spirit. The result is a new birth. Life comes. Life comes. That's why Paul said the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Preach the gospel. The gospel is that supernatural seed that is at this point being used by God the Son. The second, he's called the last Adam, meaning there'll be no more. But he's now procreating a civilization destined for a new heaven and new earth. That's what this is all about. Adam is procreating a civilization for this earth. But it's corrupt. We're born in sin, so we need the new birth. We need to be born again. How are we born again? By the gospel. We need the gospel. We need the truth of the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. That's how we're saved. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. That's horrible. But God determined that He was going to pay that sin debt of death that we owed Him. But God, as God, couldn't die. Now, why couldn't He die? He's eternal life. Remember, we talked about He's sovereign, eternal life, He's love, absolute righteousness and justice. He's all-knowing, everywhere present. He's all-powerful. Right? He can't die. But He determined to pay our sin debt. So what did He do? That first Christmas morning, Bethlehem of Judea, God took on flesh. God took on flesh. That's called the incarnation. That's one of the most important truths in the Bible. God became a man. In the womb of the Virgin Mary, He attached that little embryo to her womb and was born the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. He grew into a perfect man, 33 years, having no sin, went to the cross, died in our place to give us forever life. That's the seed that people need to hear. And when you plant that seed, sometimes it germinates quickly. Sometimes God does it quickly. But when you plant it, sometimes it doesn't germinate quickly. But plant the seed anyway. Keep doing it. Keep telling people about Jesus Christ. Keep telling people about the gospel, because some of them will respond. And some of them will respond quickly. Others, maybe years down the road, before God germinates that absolutely wonderful seed. Now, keep this in mind. Adam is procreating a civilization of fallen people. Jesus Christ, as the last Adam, is procreating a brand new people who will one day occupy the kingdom and a new heaven and a new earth. You've got a whole seminary education right there. That's amazing, isn't it? That's amazing truth. And it really is. It really is. And I want you to know that. Man cannot be saved without the gospel. So what is our mission here? Preach the gospel. Do it.